Close the door, pull up a chair, get cozy. It's the Rebel Room with Taylor Byrne and Ray Brewer, LasVegasSun.com. We are here at the mid-season for the Rebels, 16-2, right before a big conference opener at San Diego State on Saturday. But first, we just kind of want to look back at how the Rebels got here. Both losses on the road, difficult opponents. Since then, 7-game winning streak. Today, up to number 12 in the rankings. Ray, last time we were here, we talked about, you know, how high we thought UNLV could go. I didn't think already they'd be, you know, the top dozen.
Yeah, and it's just a testament to what a magical season this has been. And I know the word magical seems a little strange, but the question we'll probably address later in with all our kind of like, you know, halfway point reporting on UNLV is this a one-time thing? And everything has just kind of fell into the place this year with Dave Rice. You know, his run and gun style fit some of the pieces that Lon Kruger had brought in, like Mike Mosier and folks already here, like Anthony Marshall's kind of spiked his game. Or is this something that we might be able to see the rest of the way? Is UNLV going to be a perennial top 20 team moving forward?
I think it's, you know, that's certainly a question that people are going to want to know. It's difficult at this stage to gauge just how much, but I haven't seen anything to suggest that this is fluke type play. We've seen that fast teams can win, so the style is there. He's already got a lot of the pieces in place. He's going to be losing a few, but not enough that they can't make up for. And it's also, you know, might be adding a piece like a Kem Birch for next season. And he's got a lot of notoriety already. That's, you know, going to be huge for recruits. And I just don't see anything in the style or the system that suggests that this is just a one-year wonder.
Yeah, plus, and I know we're way ahead of ourselves, but Bryce Jones is here next year. And he's probably the best player since
J.R. Ryder.
You get
Bryce Jones, you get Justin Hawkins playing even more minutes, which is great. Carlos Lopez fills right in. Like, with the guys that are leaving, I think that they are set up already with what they have, not even, you know, including the guys that are coming in that they already have committed. I think what they have just that they practice with right now is going to be enough next year.
Yeah, they don't miss a beat. I think at the beginning of the year, you looked at the schedule and you tried to navigate your way through it. And at this point, realistically thinking, you would say UNLV probably would have four losses.
I think that's fair.
That would be fair. And right now they sit with two. Obviously, they had the marquee win against North Carolina. Great night at the end of November. Fans stormed the court. ESPN victory, 90-80. They won that tough game at Santa Barbara the next time out. And they really have just exceeded expectations. Now the schedule has mapped out nicely for them. They've taken advantage of their spots. And
on the point of the schedule, I don't know that it has, you know, you say mapped out nicely makes it seem like it's been an easy schedule. I think this has been an incredibly difficult schedule, which makes what they've been able to do, you know, even more impressive. Like they really didn't want games at Hawaii, at Cal State Bakersfield. You know, those were just kind of, you know, we need to fill out the schedule and we're going to have to go on the road for this. And it showed, you know, that especially in the Hawaii game, nobody really goes over there and excels. But you gut out a win, you learn more about yourself, and you move on, and you can take that with you. I think the difficulty of the schedule is the reason that now, you know, the expectations that we're talking about are really raised.
Mm-hmm. And at the beginning of the year, I was telling everybody, listen, don't get too excited. Okay.
You were telling people?
Homer Ray. You know, because all the fans were like, okay, I mean, they were like buying Final Four tickets. I mean, literally, people thought that UNLV was going to be right back like it's 1992. And, you know, that was obviously unrealistic. You also had to consider, you know, Dave Rice gets a lot of credit. He had never been a head coach before. Now, I know he had done some of the head coach responsibilities when Dave Rose was sick at BYU, but to come in and to have such great success just in terms of the X's and O's. I know at the end of the game it's been spotty a few times, like against Santa Barbara, but the amount of success he's had to exceed everybody's expectations, add fuel to the fire. I mean, I feel that if UNLV ever loses a game, which it's impossible to play on the road in the Mountain West, you're going to learn that. Like an average Saturday at Air Force, not exactly a walk in the park. The second UNLV stumbles up, which they will, I don't know who they will stumble up against, but they will. And take away San Diego State, New Mexico. Mm-hmm. I think fans might be on – we might have to, like, get a 1-800 help number. I mean, literally, like, to talk them off the ledge.
I think that's fair. And I honestly – I forget that Dave Rice is a first-year coach. Like, because this team everything just feels like it's been this way for a while. Now, I know I wasn't here in the off season, and so didn't get some of the nuts and bolts about, you know, leading up to the year and all that. So it's a little bit different feeling, but it just, it feels machine-like almost. Like, yeah, we've done this. We already know how we're going about this. Well, they really don't in a lot of ways. They're, you know, just kind of making it up as they go along and doing really well at it. Like, it's, when you really kind of step back and think about it, it's just absolutely amazing what they've been able to do so far. But like you said, they are going to lose one of those road games, you know, probably not at home, but one of those games, going to Air Force, going to TCU, just something where it's just not going to be their night. And based on what they've done this year, that is going to raise a lot of flags. But I, calm.
Number 12 doesn't show up to Fort Collins without, you know, a few students showing up and yelling at the top of their lungs.
I mean, the target's just getting bigger and bigger for this team. And just eventually it's gonna sneak up on them. But as long as they take care of business the rest of the time, there's no need to worry. If they go through this conference season with one or two losses, win the conference tournament, which I think you can, you know, not necessarily expect, but they're certainly going to be the heavy favorite playing at home. Two losses, conference tournament, you're looking at a 3 or 4 seed. That's
As good as it could get, especially since traditionally the league and UNLV hadn't really had much success in terms of seeding. You know, back-to-back years on the 8-9 line, having to face Kansas in the second round. And I think that would just speak volumes to where they're at. For me, I think the key has been confidence. You know, from day one, every player on that team has believed in themselves. And I think that's something that Rice brought in. Anthony Marshall, Oscar Belfield, Chase Tanback, Mike Mosier, no matter where these guys are out on the court, they're not afraid to take the shot if they're open. Justin Hawkins was a player who, quite honestly, I thought wasn't going to make it with Dave Rice. And now he's thrived, and he's become an important part of the rotation. And just to see all these guys, Bryce Masamba, lose weight, be more than serviceable. Quintrell Thomas win you the game at Illinois, you know, after being virtually playing against Santa Barbara. Carlos Lopez loves the up-and-down style against the basket. Your guy, Carlos Lopez.
He's great.
I mean, to a guy, everybody has played well this year at some points. And with the exception of two games, Wisconsin and Wichita State, where not only did they get beat, they got beat. Mm-hmm. They've looked, I mean, awesome all year. I mean, they've looked like a real legit 3 or 4 seed team, and they're confident and they believe it. The players don't think it's like a one-hit wonder. I give you an example. What's the difference between UNLV this year and like a BYU or a San Diego State last year?
I mean, with BYU, the obvious thing would be, you know, depth. It's not a one-man team. But I feel like San Diego State was more built like that also. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't quite a Jimmer show there. It was more that. But I think the one thing that UNLV really has going is the fact that, well, you know, Moser can take over a game and win it for you, and so can Standback, and so can Marshall. And when you're getting – they have 5 guys, if you round up, that are averaging double digits.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. I went through stat books back to 99, all that there was online, and they've never had that type of situation.
Yeah. And my point was going to be, you know, BYU had Fredette, San Diego State had Leonard. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, BYU just rode Fredette. Impossible to win at the Marriott Center, rode Fredette. Once-in-a-lifetime season where they got. I think San Diego State, you're talking, you had your best players, well, Leonard was a sophomore, and then your like next 3 guys were all seniors.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was just a matter of them peaking at the right time, turning their arena in a tough place to play. But I kind of got the feeling that, you know, San Diego State top 10 team, this is a once-in-a-lifetime type of thing. Even though they're ranked this year, you know, I think they're exceeding expectations because they've played absolutely nobody.
Yeah.
Now, I think this UNLV thing, though, I think this might be the start of something more consistent, especially they're in contention to get, you know, the kid from Pittsburgh. They're in contention for Shabazz Muhammad. They're in contention for Anthony Bennett, in real contention mm-hmm. to get these guys. They already have Bryce Jones, who's great. Mike Mosier's going to be even better. Anthony Marshall's going to be – this is like a real legit
– I love how excited you're getting.
No, I'm just saying, like, I don't think this is a one-year wonder type of thing. Oh, what about Caton Reinhardt? Pretty good player, right?
And the only thing that I would say is, you know, when you're looking at that SDSU versus UNLV situation is how much of your view of that is colored by past success at UNLV. Like I and maybe that is irrelevant because that's what the argument is, the fact that they've been there before.
What
they
about
get
past
back there.
Failures at San Diego State?
Yeah,
one of the worst D1 programs until Fisher got there, and it took him 5-6 years to get it to where it's at
certainly.
Now.
And I don't think that they are the same situation at all. I think we agree that UNLV is set up for this to be a nice little at least 5-year run. Like, they've got the pieces. They've got the recruits. They've got the excitement. And the support is completely there. This town is ready to just jump whenever Rice says so. And I agree. It's set up well. San Diego State, no pushover, though.
No, you know, no pushover at all. I think this year's game, UNLV is going to have a hard time just going down there, and it's going to be a madhouse.
Oh, yeah. No, it's going to be a
Saturday night,
tremendous
San Diego.
Saturday afternoon.
Afternoon. Impossible to play. Long term, and I know we'll talk specifically about the game next, you know, long term, I look at, you know, Steve Fisher older maybe, Dave Rice younger, more energetic. I just think that, you know, plus they're going to the Big West. Conversation over.
That's true.
Okay, let's talk about – I just ended it. Saturday's game, UNLV on a nice winning streak. Confident, tough to go to San Diego State, though. San Diego State, number 22. I don't think they've played anybody worthwhile.
They haven't.
They
haven't. They've got a couple good wins. They should have beat Creighton, but Doug McDermott happened, as he does, and came back with that. But not, you know, neither their losses aren't bad. They've got some okay wins. They certainly deserve at this point to be a top 25 team, but I think 22 is fair.
Yeah, UNLV, I think, is obviously going to try to, you know, put its will of running the ball. Is San Diego State going to let them? Are they going to try to run with UNLV? Because the book's out there. Wisconsin, Wichita State, slowed it down, made their threes. Anybody else who tried to run with UNLV got ran out of the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Is San Diego State going to be smart enough to kind of hold the ball, pick their spots, make their shots, use the home court to their advantage and play some good D? Because I really think of the two games, New Mexico on CBS in early February, Saturday at San Diego State, I think UNLV's got a 10 times better chance to beat San Diego State. I think New Mexico with Drew Gordon is just that good.
Yeah. I don't know if it's quite that big a disparity, but it's certainly, you know, 2-1 at least. That New Mexico game, you know, over the years has probably proven to be more difficult, and that's a better team right now. San Diego State, I think, will try to slow it down because, like you said, that's how you beat this UNLV team. You cannot outrun them. They have better athletes than you. They know what they're doing with this type of game. They will run you out of the gym. And so the question is, can San Diego State slow it down? When you try to, especially when that's not your general style, it occasionally will lead to, you know, even sometimes just boredom of your own offense. And that's when you occasionally will start to hurry things up, and UNLV jumps on the mistakes, takes it for a run out basket. And then that's kind of what gets the stone rolling. And the other thing is, you talked about three-pointers. UNLV's perimeter defense a lot better than it was in those particular games. And so, you know, can they just post up and hope for their threes to win? You know, maybe that's their best plan. But, you know, if UNLV's not allowing it, then you probably have to start trying to get into more of a running style.
Yeah, and I totally just forgot what I was going to say. Oh. I wrote a column 2-3 weeks ago about how UNLV is going to win 30 games. And I know people looked at me as crazy. If they beat San Diego State, they got 14 games left, plus two tournaments. They beat San Diego State, they'd be 17-2 mm-hmm. with 13 league games to go. Say they go 11-2 in those, they'd be 28-4. They'd be 31-4 going into the tournament. I think there's no way they don't get to 30.
I'm starting to go more on your side.
I know a lot of times, and we talked about this in the newsroom, is that sometimes Case Kiefer, our colleague, is more logical and I'm more kind of like dreamy and out there.
Impassioned.
But this dream is coming a lot closer to reality.
This one's very real.
Yes.
And I think that's very legitimate. In fact, I hesitate to say disappointment if they don't get there. But the way that they've played thus far this season, I think that's what the expectation is to, you know, not lose more than two or three league games, probably win your league tournament, and right there's 30 wins.
See what happens. Take that three seed.
Yeah.
Rebel Room for LasVegasSun.com. Taylor Byrne, Ray Brewer. Almost done with our mid-season report. I got a little game we'll play.
Let's do it.
A little game.
I'm excited.
For you, moving forward, give me the one guy who UNLV, who's going to be the unsung hero. Not Mike Mosier, not somebody you know about. One guy who, if this guy is really at the top of his game, UNLV's got an opportunity. I'll give you mine.
Justin Hawkins.
Oh, my gosh.
Sixth man, best perimeter defender, best on-ball defender, just gives it up every single second that he's on the court. And that's, you know, you say unsung. He's averaging nearly 10 points a game, leads the team in steals, but you don't hear about him a whole lot when you're listing the stars. And he just, you know, he just kind of goes about his work and makes sure that UNLV is going to win. My, you know, if I had a second, actually, here, let's, what's yours?
Justin Hawkins fan club. President is the same guy in charge of the Carlos Lopez fan club.
He was my second.
He was your second guy.
Of course.
I was going to say, and this is way out there, I'm boiling the UNLV season down to four games.
Okay.
At New Mexico, at San Diego State, at home against the two.
All right.
And both those teams are good on the inside, especially New Mexico with their best guy. I think Quantrell has got a chance to have a major impact. Minutes off the bench, big body, good rebounder, and every time he shoots, I'm afraid because it's so unorthodox, but he really knocks his shots down. And I think the success he's had in the last 2 weeks has given him some confidence. And I think UNLV needs the big three inside to give him a lot of contributions. Now, Bryce has been better, but you don't know if Bryce is going to be the 3-foul-and-5-minute Bryce or if he's going to be the 10.5-board-and-15-minute Bryce. You know what to get from Lopez. He's not going to he's going to be great facing the basket. He'll razzle-dazzle. He'll shake and bake. He'll be your guy.
Do you know what he's shooting right now, percentage?
88%, whatever it is.
74.
74. He's your guy, no doubt about it. But I tell you what, Lopez isn't going to bang with you.
He'll get you
a block or two.
No, and if you're talking about that, he does lead the team in blocks. But you're right. As far as bodying up defensively, Quantrell and Bryce are definitely the way to go. Foul trouble, you know, an issue for both of those guys. Shoot, Lopez too.
For all three of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's something that they deal with a lot. But you know, people at the Pit probably still have nightmares about Quantrell Thomas from last season's
and Kendall Walls from two seasons ago. Hitting those threes. Okay, so we got our players to click, our unsung heroes. At the beginning of the year, we kind of said, okay, how far do you think UNLV is going to go? I was, okay, second game of the tournament. They've exceeded everybody's expectations. They're 16-2 at the halfway point. Clearly, I don't think it could get any better. I mean, unless they sweep the whole slate.
Yeah.
How far do you think they go now? Do you think this is a Sweet 16 team?
I do. I think second weekend is definitely what the expectation should be for this team. That doesn't mean that they won't get a bad matchup or something that, you know, derails them, but the way that they've played,
like Northern Iowa when they got lucky against them.
they'd be thrilled to get Northern Iowa this year. They're terrible. But the depth that they have, they're not relying on one person. If even the top two or three guys aren't hitting offensively, they can still get points elsewhere. That's going to make them incredibly difficult to guard. Their running style can just pile up points so quickly. A 2-point lead turns into 12 just, you know, immediately. There's nothing that most of those teams on the first weekend are going to be able to do about that. I think Sweet 16 for sure. I'd say Elite 8.
Okay, Elite 8. Okay, UNLV.
How many games have you watched this year? I'm not talking about UNLV. I'm talking about, like, the national teams.
As much as any guy who goes to the sports book three times a day does.
Yeah. You know, okay. there's like six or seven, you know, I would say kind of the elite of the elite teams this year. And then UNLV is probably one of the best of the second tier.
Okay, here's my deal with UNLV. Last 2 years, one and done in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
The Northern Iowa game was back and forth, pretty evenly matched. They lost. Last year, they got rolled over by Illinois.
Last year, they weren't ready to play.
They got rolled over by Illinois. This year, they've only been in a few tight games. Carolina, Santa Barbara.
Hawaii.
Hawaii, which I didn't listen or watch. And the one thing I'm worried about is during crunch time that they don't have enough experience under the crutch. Because last year, for as much as a pain in the rear Trevon Willis was, and for as much as he brought down the team, you know, with the game on the line, he was the guy that was going to knock your foul shot down. Is Oscar Belfield that guy? Is he going to be consistent enough to do it? I just know to get to the Sweet 16 and even further to the Elite Eight, which would set this town on fire, let me tell you. Elite Eight, it would be like, we're going to – Dave Rice's birthday is now a holiday. We're going to name a few streets after him, and he's going to eat at any steakhouse he wants the rest of his life if they make the Elite Eight.
I just know
that a lot of things have to go your way, and you got to win some games down the clutch. And who's going to be that guy with the rock in his hand?
Stand back. That's your first option for taking the shots.
Okay.
I think from watching this team, Hawaii game, Anthony Marshall put the exclamation point on it, but Stand back had the, you know, really the dagger shot against Santa Barbara. He put up that type of shot. Moser could definitely be that option too, but he seems to be more the guy that kind of gets you the lead, mm-hmm. and then Stand back carries it home.
Yeah, and I clearly don't want to continue to go on and on, but UNLV matched up great against Carolina. Mm-hmm. You know, Carolina's, you know, lottery pick players were virtually non-existent. But the following week when they played Santa Barbara, their guy got off pretty good. Can't even remember his name. He's supposed to be an NBA guy. How is UNLV going to guard against, like, an elite guy?
An elite, are we talking guard, forward,
whoever
center?
Whoever it is.
Well, I'm
that, Gordon, how are they going to guard against the guy from New
double
Mexico?
Team. That's the way that they've liked to handle big centers. Myers Leonard, they came over with double teams, kind of popped him in the face a little bit, and kid couldn't do anything about it after that. He was done. Gordon, definitely a different type of player, but that's how they're going to force other players on that team to make a play and then adjust the defense as necessary throughout the game. They love, especially against a big guy, they love starting with those double teams.
Well, Taylor Byrne, the new beat writer for LasVegasSun.com, is clearly drinking the Scarlet and Gray Punch.
I've had some Kool-Aid.
Not only is he a fan of Carlos and Justin, follow them on Twitter as well, he thinks they're going to make the Elite Eight. Me, the UNLV graduate, the proclaimed UNLV fan, I guess, because I grew up here, I'm not that optimistic. Maybe it's because I don't want to jinx it. Who knows? But it'll be an interesting end of the year. We'll be here with you. Taylor's doing a great job. I'm along for the ride. Rebel Room, visit our coverage, Las Vegas Sun.